Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Good morning, LAT. I think we are very good rat killers. Yeah. Did you guys look at the picture of a marsupial? Did you? Those are the kinds of rats that you guys are killing by your prayers. Amen? It is a big, ugly rat. Yeah, so we bless God for that. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Jera, for sharing. Being in the process of building, I could take a chunk like that. I could use it. So, but we thank God for that. Unless, of course, he builds a house. They that labor, labor in vain. Amen. Glory to God. Who is happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Are there any first-time visitors? Any first-time visitors? No. Okay. So my name is Joanne. You all know me. Now that I thought that there won't be first-time visitors, so I even wrote down a small introduction about myself. Yes. So, but now that there are no first-time visitors, no need to go into that. Glory to God. Amen. I thank God for this week and for this opportunity to minister before you. In a way, I was praying that, Pastor doesn't call me to minister when I'm still fasting. So at the end of my fast, which was, my fast ended on 12th, it happened that my time for preaching comes in after I've done my fast. So I really, really thank God for it. Amen. That now I'm here and I'm preaching and I'm done with the fast. Amen. It was a very challenging fast for me. Usually, like at the beginning of the year, I set aside time, like many of you, to seek God for, you know what, next. And this particular fast, I didn't have anything. Usually I go with prayer requests, my things that I need, and basically, during the fast, I'm telling God, sign here, sign there, sign here, sign here. But now, this particular fast, I didn't have any script like that. I just went before God, and I'm like, I come to you, Lord, with an empty sheet of paper. And now, with a pen, I will sign on whatever you tell me to sign on. So, that was the fast, and it was so challenging. More than any other fast, I just found that this one where I was fully surrendered to God, given to whatever he wanted me to do, was so challenging. From my physical body, I'll get hungry. You know, you guys, I'll never do this. Like, I'll never feel hungry during my fasts. But this one at 4, I'll be there and I'm dying. I'm like, God. Then on some days, I'll even be shaking out of hunger. I'm like, hey, God, what is happening? Is this fast yours? Should I be fasting? Or why is it so, so difficult? But I knew that I was dealing with some things during that fast. Amen? Glory to God. I knew that that fast, by the end of it, I would have broken loose. Glory to God. So, and at the end of it, God spoke to me really clearly about the things that he wants me to sign on. Amen? Amen? So I hope your fast, because this is a period when people fast, I hope your fasts are going well if you're fasting anyway. From Sandra's last sermon here, she told us to fast. So I hope your fasts are going well, whoever is doing, engaged in that sort of activity. Today I felt about sharing on spiritual dryness and wildernesses. How many of us have gone through anything, even remotely, that? If you haven't yet gone through it, your turn is coming. It is coming. It is coming as people, as children of God, heirs of salvation, people born again, we all go through this. Whether the mighty, the high and mighty and the lows, we all go through periods and seasons of spiritual wildernesses and dryness. And sometimes, for those of you that don't identify with this, let me show you. Maybe Jera doesn't identify with it. So Jera, this is what spiritual dryness, feels like most of the time. First of all, it is a state of feeling depleted and empty. It is a state of feeling so empty, your devotional time becomes less regular, or if it is regular, you're sticking with a habit. It feels dry. It feels stale, like you're not getting anything out of it. It is the same for your prayer time. It's a feeling of like you are distant. God is distant from you. You are very distant from him. That even if he stood right next to you and screamed into your ear, you would not hear him. It just feels like that. And the excitement and the passion for God and the things of God during these times of wildernesses and dryness, it all wanes. If you stay doing whatever you were doing before, it will be things like duty that hold you to it. For example, if your worship team, yeah, you minister in LAT, but now you're going through a period of dryness. If you're to come and sing, you're coming to sing not because you're so passionate about God and what, but you're coming to sing because you have a duty. If you're a preacher, you will be coming to preach because you're like, but now who will preach on Sunday if I don't preach in this church? It is my church. So it is one of those things. And I think you go through the same period, a similar experience with no more work. There are times when you've just signed your contract, you're excited, you look at the money, now 2 years into the job, after things have given you, you start, but then now, I'm not feeling this job the way I used to feel it then. That is when you look at your paycheck, you're like, they even pay me so little. You start really complaining about all these things. You start to dry up. There is no more excitement. Those days when you signed your whatever, your contract even came and testified, and you're like, we work out of worship for the Lord. So even enter your workplace with a spring in your step, and you're singing all these songs. What? Then 3 years into the job, you've joined the bandwagon of Tuze Kola Bukozi Tugende, we've just come to work and let's serve 8 to 5 and then we go. So it is the same feeling. And this happens in work, in everything that basically God has called us to do. Periods of dryness come. It could be a spiritual phase, which I'm going to talk about today. It could be work. It could be family. And by the way, even in relationships, it happens. You turn, you look at your friend, you're like, good night, good night. good night, good night. At first you were excited to see each other, going out, but now a time comes, you just enter a certain phase where you, if you have kids, like now me and Sam, you've been married for 13 years, you're just on a job of parenting. Now, did this one do this? Okay. Did they do Kaizala? What? So you go through, even your relationships can go through that phase of dryness. And it's the thing that you used to like doing most now even becomes boring. If you used to like going out with your husband, you're like, but you know what? Let's just stay home. If you enjoyed maybe a particular activity, sports, it just becomes boring, and now you'd even rather do it with somebody else. So periods of dryness and wildernesses happen. Amen? They happen all the time. And more so for spiritual dryness. Why? Because for as long as we are human beings on this earth, we shall experience, there are so many hindrances when we are in this body, and we shall keep experiencing these periods. But you see, God doesn't want these periods to last forever. Amen. Until we see him face to face, we shall be as he is. So there will not be any more hunger in heaven. There will not be any more hunger when we are in that space with the Lord. We shall be changed. There will not be that hunger, that thirst, that dryness will not be there. We shall be one with him. But for as long as we are in this body, for as long as we are on earth, these periods are coming. They are not unique to you. They are not unique to me. These periods are coming. And when they come, don't think that you have backslidden. Because sometimes it feels that way. It feels like, now for some of us, backsliding may not necessarily be denouncing the Lord, doing something weird or wicked. It could be if I take a period of like 2 weeks without reading my Bible and I've been very consistent, I feel like, God, am I beginning to backslide? Is this how people who backslide begin? You know, you start, if you used to sing 3 songs, you're down to 1. Then sometimes you even visit the other kind of, some kind of songs, secular songs, you know, and those things happen. You're like, is this how it actually feels to backslide? So these things are very, very common. And this morning, I'm here to share with us, we get out of there very quickly. Amen? Because God doesn't want you to be there for a very long time. And during this period, of course, post-COVID, you know something that is very amazing happened. During COVID, when we were, no, because COVID is still there. During the lockdown, when we are not meeting as a church, of course there was a reason for people not coming to church. We are on lockdown. So I had this thing in me that, the moment they release us, I think people are going to flood church. It's amazing that, you know, you come here and you're like, okay, where is everybody? Where is everybody? It's just one meeting in a week. So for me, it was one of those things where I'm like, is it that people are dry? Then you talk to a few people, they just don't seem to have that zeal they had when we were meeting before. So maybe they're going through some dryness. I do not know. So one of the causes of spiritual dryness is unrepented sin. Unrepented sin. Isaiah 51, verses 1 to 2. That is, I think, one of the scriptures that was quoted in a testimony. But I'm going to use it to show us how unrepented sin can cause you to go into a period, into a season of spiritual dryness. Here it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear. So sometimes when we quote sin and God brings it to you over and over and over again, and you do not repent of that sin, you will start to feel distant from God. Your fellowship with God will be affected. Your relationship is still there, all right? You are still born again, but your fellowship with the Lord is affected. When I understood that, I hated sin the more. That you can actually still be born again. You have a fellowship with, you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, but there's just no fellowship. So, sin is one of those things. Now, when God brings out it up to you, please deal with it and get it out of the way. Then another cause is protracted spiritual warfare. Amen? Protracted spiritual warfare. Sometimes in life, we deal with things that just really, like in the spirit, that drain you. You have this prayer request. You have taken it before God, like Geraldine. You know, and by the way, the reason why God keeps on sending you these dreams is to encourage you, especially if he sees that it's going to be a protracted war. There are those wars that you deal with, you kill a rat here and it dies. But there are those ones where even after killing the marsupial, you go out, you find that the marsupial had kids, had one. And then you have now to deal with that. Then the Lord reveals to you, oh, by the way, this marsupial here, did you know that you need over what? And then, so the period, it's protracted. It's spiritual warfare. It takes a toll on your spirit. And it starts to just draw on your spiritual strength. Amen? When you look at the life of Elijah the prophet, Elijah operated in the supernatural. You all know, you have heard about his life. But really, the reason, when you look at Elijah's life, the reason for all these big supernatural occurrences, God will not waste those things if you're not in a hot spiritual warfare. He was supposed to turn the heart of a nation to God, to turn it back to God. And that is why God gave him these big supernatural things. Now, eventually, as you all know, it got weary for him. There was a lot of back and forth. Today you have a victory. You have, you have done something. You have announced a drought to Ahab and the rain has come. You have slain the Baal's prophets at Mount Carmel. And then you would think that would turn the heart of the king back to God and the heart of the nation. Nothing. You have done so many things. You have, one of the things that he did was to declare judgment on Ahab and Jezebel concerning Naboth's vineyard. These guys don't drop dead. They are still there. They are pursuing you. God comes and tells you, go tell Ahab and Jezebel this is going to happen to them. You would think that God at that point would say, I've had it with Ahab and Jezebel, drop dead. But these guys still live on with that judgment. They still pursue you. The chick is saying she's going to kill you. It's protracted, like all Elijah's life. Yeah, he was fighting. It was spiritual warfare on behalf of the nation. Now, at the end of it all, the guy gets tired. He's like, you know what, God, I've had it with you. I've had it with your mercy. I have had it. And he goes into the wilderness. Glory to God. He goes into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he meets God. So therein is a subtle lesson to us that even in our spiritual dryness, God is there. Amen? God is there. In that feeling of, you know, God, I'm dry. I have done everything supernaturally possible. At that point, I think that is how Elijah could talk. I have done everything supernaturally possible as you have told me to do. And still, this nation is not turning to you. I feel alone. I am done. And he goes into a wilderness. Glory to God. So God is always there in a wilderness. Then life's problems and cares. Mark 4:18-19. It says, now these are the, speaking of the grounds in which we sow the word of God. Now these are the ones, one of the grounds is, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Yeah? You want to go into a spiritual wilderness. There you are. You receive the word of God, you hear it, you're excited, but your heart is into the cares of this world. Now, let me tell you something about the cares of this world. They are not bad things sometimes. Sometimes it's not bad things. It's just the cares of this world. You care about money, you're not worshiping money, but it's just taking all your attention. It's consuming you. Yeah? And if you continue feeding on the cares of this world, before you know it, your spirit becomes dry. You start to suffocate your spirit man. And then you enter into a wilderness. Then the other thing is doing things that we are not supposed to do. This one here, very subtle, but it's a very big rat. If there are rats to kill, this one also should be among them. Doing things that we are not supposed to do. God has not told you to write 3 books. Don't write them. Don't start to write them. Yesterday, someone was calling me and they were asking me if Pastor Moses has written another book. And I told the person that no, not any I know of, because they used to be a member of this church and they left. So I'm like, you see, not any I know of. But I think, then we talked about how people write many books and what. Then I made a statement that, you know, I find that, with all due respect, by the way, I find that Pastor Moses has written a lot more than people who release maybe 1-2 books. You know why? Because every week he releases a word of the week. A word of the week. That is, you guys, if you've ever written a book or even seen a book this thin, you know how long it would take you to actually release content for a book this thin. But now you have Pastor who writes, who churns out stuff every week. And it just hit me when I was talking to this person that I could actually get all those words of the week, put them in a book, and say, Pastor Moses' words of the week. And the thing would be so big because they've been here for years and years on end. So I felt like telling that person, you want a word of the week? You want a book from Pastor Moses? Please feel free. But I think they were asking me to if he has written another book on financial prosperity. So then we talked about how really difficult it is to write books, yeah? But one of the things that came to me even when I was doing this particular sermon point was when we do things that we are not supposed to do, you end up, these things take your energy. They take your time, yeah? And they may not be evil things. God hasn't told you to do stuff. Don't do it. Let's look at Acts 6:1-4. Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. I'd like to address the issue of OCD. You know, I hear so many people say, me, I have OCD. And it seems like, what is OCD? Who knows? Obsessive compulsive disorder. Do you have obsessive compulsive disorder? So apparently, OCD is one of those things I have heard so many people talk about. And there is like borderline pride in it. Yeah? And me, I have OCD. Mse nina OCD. You know? And you're like, do you know? Do you know? Do you know that that is actually even a disease? Yeah? Me, I have OCD. And obsessive compulsive disorder. Me, I don't easily delegate. You will die. If you don't delegate work, you will die with that work like these disciples. You can end up doing things you are not supposed to do. Why? Because me, there is no one who can do things the way I do them. You're a mother, you're doing, for me, you're doing homeschooling, you're doing what? You have to pray a sermon and you're still there. Yes, I have to cook every day of the week. I have to do what? Man, you know, the maid will not cook the way I want. Really, guys, just calm down. Give yourself to the ministry of what? Of the word and prayer. Because nowhere does it say that the disciples of the Lord were supposed to wait on tables. Now, it wasn't just waiting on tables. It just wasn't serving, making sure that food is well distributed. Now they entered into conflict with widows. Now for us, we're not getting what? Before you know it, these are men. Now they're there arguing. Now people are taking factions. And you're there involved in all this stuff. Imagine you're a disciple at that time. I even bet they didn't even know how to solve some of those issues. And by God's grace, they were given wisdom on how to handle. Just so, do you know what it means to listen to complaints the whole day and solve disputes the whole day over food? When will you get time to pray? So let us do the things that we are supposed to do. Glory to God. Stick to that. Don't try to outdo God. Just stick. If you are saying do 50%, do 50% and go before God and say, God, according to the metrics you gave me, I've done 50%. Glory to God. Then the other one is depending on feelings all the time. Glory to God. When we depend on feelings all the time, sometimes, you know, feelings are, God gave us feelings and they have their place. But at the same time, if you make this primarily the way you relate with God, you're going to end up in problems. Don't go on extremes of feelings. Feelings can be fickle. It could actually be that you're experiencing God, but you just don't feel the way you used to feel about it. I mean, when I say feelings, I mean kind of feelings. If you used to see visions and you're no longer receiving visions, it's possible for you to feel like, oh, I'm in a spiritual wilderness. I don't hear God anymore. But yet, you could actually be hearing the Lord. Glory to God. So, we are called to live by faith and not by sight, not by feeling, not by our five senses. So what if you came into LAT and you didn't feel the goosebumps when the worship team was singing? You know, sometimes people think that men of God, women of God, who are always on fire, always feel it. No. Sometimes your feelings are there at the door and you're here. You feel zero, nothing, nothing. The worship team is singing, but you're there. You know, if things of God be a miracle sometimes, yeah? You're like, God, me, I'm here to worship. Whether I feel it or I don't feel it, I'm here to worship. You entered a relationship with God that was not based on feelings. And it is the same thing, by the way, even with, like, say, marriage, yeah? You made a covenant before God and people that you love this person, whether you feel it or not. Now, after 13 years, 14, 20 years, yeah? Sometimes I look at those old people and I'm like, I think now these ones are living like brother and sister. Because you see someone who is like 60 years, yeah? And a couple that is like 60 years old. And you really wonder, what is keeping these two together? What? You know, because for you where you are, at this point you feel like, I think I left half of the stuff I entered marriage with somewhere. Yeah. Now I think I'm in another, you know, if it was the attraction, if it was, all those things are not yet there. All those things have gone probably. Or they are out of the door. I mean, I'm not the same bride I was. I'm still a bride, but I'm not the same bride I was 13 years ago. I've had 3 children. What do you expect? I've had a few hitches here and there with my skin. The hair is not the way it used to be. You know, things have, in the natural, things have regressed a bit, yeah? A bit. Please. Things have regressed a bit. So if Sam had married me for only what I looked like and what he felt at that point, the heebie-jeebies, what will he have? What will he remain with after 15 years of giving him 3 children and life slapping me left, right, and center? Yeah? So you cannot always live by your feelings. So it's the same thing with God. When he allows you to have the feeling, please maximize it. Don't be overly dramatic. But the emotionalism and what cry I felt the Lord, I sensed him in the praise and worship session. Oh God, hey. Yes, do all those things. Don't be overly dramatic. But there are times when that feeling will not be there. There's a time when you will not feel excited about reading the word of God. What will you do? By the way, one of the boring things I think is the word of God, honestly. Honestly, sometimes the Bible is ridiculously boring. You read it and you're like, man, hey! But you continue. But then they give you another book about maybe Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell. And you will chew that book. You will hog it. In one day, you'll be done with it. Yeah? But then the Bible, oh my God, the moment you hit after Exodus, oh, there is a stretch, a home stretch there, yeah? You're like, eh. But God, when I was setting a target of reading the Bible the whole year, I think I was joking. Eh. Like Julian was saying, sikati day one. Like you just reach there and it's a drag. There's no feeling, there's zero motivation. Yeah? And it's so easy for you in that time to feel like you're in a spiritual dryness because you're living by your feelings. Feelings can be very deceptive. Glory to God. Amen. And then the other one is sometimes, which is the last cause, is that sometimes cause of us entering into spiritual dryness is that sometimes God wills you to enter that place of wilderness. Amen. Sometimes God, and these are the wildernesses I like, by the way, where I know it's not me. God, it's not me. It is not sin. It is not anything I've done, anything I haven't done. God, it is you who has taken me here. Because when I'm there, I know for sure that there is something God wants me to learn. Glory to God. Let's look at Isaiah 45, verses 15. Isaiah says, truly you are God. You hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Amazing. That the Savior, God who said he will never leave you nor forsake you, what? He is the same God who hides his face away from you. Yeah? It doesn't mean that he has left you. In this kind of season that is orchestrated by God, I want to make it clear that God has not left you. Why? He said he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is with you. But for that time, you will not see him as you used to. But he is there. And you know why he is there? Do you know why he hides himself? That you may seek him more, that you may hunger for him more. So this kind of season that is orchestrated by God, for me, is so comforting to know that God hides himself to awaken my hunger because he wants more fellowship with me. In other words, the reason why God will hide from us is that we could love him more. He wants more of that relationship. Can you imagine love drawing God to hide himself? It seems counterproductive, but that is how it works. That God will hide himself for deeper, just so he could stir your hunger for deeper fellowship, deeper communion. If you used to dream a lot, sometimes now this is how, to me, hiding himself sounds like. There are those seasons in my life where I can dream. Yeah. Who is the biggest dreamer here that I know about? That I know about it. Dr. Dennis Mujimba. That guy will dream in the country, out of the country. He will dream what you should eat, about what. That guy will dream. Yeah? He dream. And sometimes I'm like, oh man, this guy is more active asleep than awake. That is how he dreams. Now, there are times in my life when I can dream even more than that. Then there are those times, woo, no dream, nothing, not even a carnal dream will come my way. I enter bed and I wake up the way I entered, nothing. And, you know, then I start asking, of course, now my husband is not a dreamer, like a big time dreamer, but I'll even go to him and say, nah, yeah, do you think God is, have you dreamt? As you know, by the time you go to even a source that does not dream, it is that bad, yeah? So there are times where God will want you to grow in a certain aspect, to learn to hear him a different way, to learn to use wisdom, to learn to use more of the inner witness, that unction that he gives you, instead of waiting on a dream, on a vision. Then there are times when God just wants you to read the Bible, study it, glean wisdom from there and apply it to your life. It does not make you less spiritual. And it doesn't mean that he is not with you. He's just teaching you something. So during that time, don't fret saying, oh, I'm in a spiritual dryness. I cannot even come to church. Because that is what, you know, when you're going through the wilderness, eh? This is what some people do. They stop meeting. Kubanga stabby feeling. There's just no feeling in church. Because when they come here, the worship service, the worship session is dry. The sermon is dry. Prayer time is dry. So what some believers do is to actually keep away. Now imagine you're going through this season that is orchestrated by God and you're keeping away. What would happen to you? So don't give up. Not when you understand the reason for these seasons, then you know how to deal with them. Glory to God. Amen. So those are some of the causes. Things that cause us to enter spiritual dryness or these wilderness seasons. And for that last season where you say, where it is orchestrated by God, I can't even quite call it dryness, honestly. It feels that way, but it is not it. And if you discern it early, then you will know how to maneuver your way. So how should we react when we are in these seasons? Now that we are sure that the seasons will come. We are sure that the seasons will come. But also we know that God doesn't want us to always be cutting up before you're always in the dryness. Eh? God doesn't, because nobody ever grows consistently in a dry season, you know. So God doesn't want you to stay there for a long time. Even when Elijah ran into the wilderness, he was there for a short time and then he came back. So one of the things that we can do is, the Bible tells us not to give up the habit of meeting. I beg you, whatever is the cause of your spiritual dryness, whether it is unrepented sin, whether it is orchestrated by God, don't give up the habit of meeting. It is so tempting during that time not to meet with believers. It is not that every time, well, it happens to me, but I'm going to risk and use pastor. It is not that every time that pastor preaches here, he's even feeling it. Sometimes he doesn't feel it. Maybe sometimes it's out of duty. I do not know. Maybe sometimes I think largely it is maturity that you know you're supposed to do something and you have a relationship with God. But the temptation to keep away, even from your own thing, is high. Just like you, the time when you feel you don't have that zeal for work anymore, the temptation to call and say, you know, I have COVID-like symptoms, because I know that is what works nowadays. The moment you say, I have COVID-like symptoms, oh, you stay. It's okay. You stay away, stay away, stay away. So there is a high temptation to isolate yourself, to okweya ula kukubantu. Amen? And you know what? The devil loves lone rangers. Do you know who lone rangers are? People who hunt alone, those ones are a feast. They are a good branch for the devil. Glory to God. Why am I saying that? Because in these meetings, in these corporate meetings, God releases an anointing to cover you when you can't. There are things that happen in the spirit that we cannot even explain. Amen. So it's very difficult for you to tell the impact of such a sermon today. Like if I asked you at one, give me the impact of the sermon that I shared this morning. You will not say it. Some things are very difficult to measure the impact like immediately. Some things come as a result of doing them over and over again and a build up. Glory to God. So Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You see, these days are evil. Instead of lone ranging, just come and be in the house of the Lord. Kale, you ojaku irabyo ulira, and you get out. Yeah? But do not give up the habit of meeting. I have a friend of mine. I don't know if she still goes to the church, Mutundwe Christian Fellowship. Very good friend. Goes there, those guys fast. I think they have fast they fast frequently. So one day I call, I'm like, hey, so how are you? Just checking on her. She like, ah, Joanne. You know, they speak a lot of Uganda. So she like, ah, Joanne. Neya would deko, because now I was asking her, why don't you call? Why are you know, you're rare. She's like, neya would deko kunonya mukama, meaning the translation is, I've separated myself to seek God. Hey, I'm like, okay. So when someone tells you such a thing in that heavy Luganda, you even want to terminate the phone call. You're like, maybe this call interrupted her prayer time. I don't know. Maybe you're a devil. Neya would deko kunonya mukama. You're like, you're like, nze wanowendi simunonya. So, anyway, so she was trying to justify the reason why she was quiet. And those times are there, yeah? Now, I gave her space. I gave her time. She didn't call, also didn't call. So about like after some good months, a number of months, like 9, I call again. I'm like, hey, my friend. The last time I spoke, how far now? And you guys, from that conversation with her, you know, now she was telling me things. She had done a kwanjula. No, she had done a kuchala. Ask her about the guy. Is the guy born again? Ah, kakati. Yeah, na ya alimu gundi, alimu Anglican. You know, someone says alimu Anglican, you know there is a problem. They say it like that. Alimu Anglican, there is a problem. Meaning they are, I don't know, maybe they're just not confident. So one of the risks you stand when you separate yourself for those long periods of time is that you'll actually be meat for the devil. It will be very difficult for you to withstand temptation. You will not grow. Nobody. This Christian life, you cannot walk it alone. You account alone, but it is not walked alone. So don't try to reinvent the wheel. By kwe ya ulako, you stay there. Before you know it, it's lockdown has been lifted. You've never come to church. Kwe ya ulako. And you know, you sound spiritual, but ugendirayo. Yeah? So I'm begging you, do not give up the habit of meeting. It's an instruction for our own good. Glory to God. Then the other thing is, you may not always feel motivated. You know, these seasons require maturity. You will not always feel motivated, but at least stick with the discipline. Glory to God. You will not always be motivated, but stick with the disciplines. And let me tell you something, God works through disciplines. It's like I said again, it is rare to measure the impact of even one prayer session. You see what we did here. If it wasn't for the dream that came, you would, if it wasn't, by the way, for that dream, you'd be like, nayo batwa sababichi. Yes. And you should get happy every time as LAT members, yeah? Every time we have revelations from God. Honestly. Because these things encourage you, but they also, they encourage you, they build you. Yeah. So if it wasn't for that dream that came, for the testimonies that people are sharing, you'd be like, ah, man, that was anyway, it was a prayer service. It is hard sometimes to quantify the impact of these things in our lives because God works through established disciplines and routines. God is not going to come and work in one day. If you have attended deliverance sessions, you know that the deliverances that go on over and over again. People get delivered, they have to stay delivered, they have to be taught. Now, if you give up the habit of meeting, if you do not have it as a discipline in you, it will be very difficult for you to grow. If you don't have a discipline of reading the Word of God, if you just say, you know what, I don't feel motivated, I feel dry, either anyway, can be the first day, the second, a week in, 2 weeks in, before you know it, it's a month. You did not stick with the discipline. Why? Because you're not feeling motivated. Remember, even when you read this Bible, let me tell you, sometimes you read things, you're like, what about now? Then honestly, I'm not even going to be super spiritual on this one. Sometimes I read the Bible, and even my mind goes away. I start thinking about other things, and then I'm like, no. I have to stick with this. Then a phone call comes through, you go, you answer, yeah. Then after like, but now let me switch it off. I'm trying to stick with the discipline. And in that moment, I may not actually know or measure the impact of what that is doing to me. Some things are measured over like a compounded period of time. That is the best way I can put it. So when you stick with the disciplines, when you stick with your prayer sessions, coming to church on Sunday, your devotional time, you will get more out of it, not just one. Glory to God. And then the other thing is, one of the things we can do to get out of this season is repent of any sin. Repent of any sin that God has revealed to you. If God reveals to you any sin, and that your sin led you into that season you're in. Please repent of it. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see, there is a direct correlation between repentance of sin and refreshment in the presence of God. You're feeling dry. You're feeling like you are in a parched place. Ask God. Take off time to search your heart. Ask him to reveal to you if there is anything, any sin that you have not repented of. Now, in today's church that likes to hear grace, they'll tell you, God has forgiven you everything. Today, he has forgiven your past sin and the future sin. But it is the same word that tells us to repent. Because he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Let's go to Psalm 51, verse 10 to 12. There is a time in my life I used to pray this, yeah? And I think I was struggling with something. I was struggling with something and I wasn't getting the feeling of being forgiven. You know, you have repented. God has said, John, you have to stop doing that. You're like, God, I'm sorry. I repent and I stop. So I stopped doing it. But the feeling of forgiveness came much later. I wasn't feeling it at that point. So every time, now, meanwhile, that thing had led me into a season of wilderness. But remember, I told you that for you to be in that season, you don't necessarily have to have sin. But for me, it's something that was not pleasing to God. Maybe it's not like outright sin to Reuben, but to God it wasn't pleasing to him. So I started asking God to give me the joy, to give me back the joy of my salvation. Why? Because this had led me to a place of spiritual dryness. And I guess this is what David was going through because he writes this psalm after his sin with Bathsheba. Yeah? And so he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take the Holy Spirit from me. And then he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. So I came to a point with God when I was saying, Kati, I want to, the joy of salvation. okwenyumiriza mbulokole. You know, I had left me, you people. And that is what sin does. Nga sicha, you know, you don't even want to, you're like, ah, there was really no joy of salvation for me at that point. And I needed to start to feel it, to rejoice in the fact that I am saved, I am what? I wanted to be proud again of my salvation. Now, of course, what I was doing had, you know, when you have a sin or something that is displeasing to God, there are feelings of condemnation. So, yes, all right, God had forgiven me, but I was condemning myself. I was doing, you know, all these things. And God had to deal, yes, he forgave me that time I repented and changed, but now he had to deal with condemnation that I had so long fed on that now it had become part of me and I was not in that place with God where I would have open fellowship with him. That every time I would go before him, my heart would condemn me. So I started asking God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. That when I say banang, when people say, Joanne, Pastor Joanne, I'm like, yeah, I'm working for the Lord. You know, when they say, people who are born again, I'm like, yes, I'm one of them. That time, you know, guys, I wouldn't even want to be part of people who are born again. There was no joy. There was no joy at all. Even when I had the disciplines of going before God and having my devotional time, my prayer time, I would just do it. Nang, I wasn't joyful. You know, you're like, you know, like, or to go back there, like, I would go before God when I'm angry. I'm like, I've come here to pray. But then I'll pray in tongues. I even think they were angry tongues. I'll pray in tongues. But when I'm like, but God, how could, you know, God, I had lived so much with condemnation and it had led me there in that place. And God dealt with it. So if you have any unrepented sin, repent. 2 Corinthians 7:14 is a very beautiful promise. Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Glory to God. I realize, by the way, when we repent, God takes you through seasons. Now you have to understand and accept, receive repentance, which also takes time. After receiving repentance, get rid of the condemnation. That also takes time. Then you know, and that is why it's important for you to be with the body of believers, because some of those things, you cannot move them alone. You cannot, you know. So repent of any sin to get out of the spiritual wilderness. And then the other thing is that continue reading the Word of God. Continue reading the Word of God. In a time, you know, I talked about establishing disciplines, but in this point, I would really want to emphasize continuity and the Word of God and how so different it is. The Bible tells us in John 6:63, that it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now, one of the reasons why I will stick with reading the Word of God is because in my life, I have gone beyond nchifilinga. I have gone beyond nchitwala. I receive. Now I read the Word because it is spiritual and it is speaking to my spirit. Period. Whether I feel it or not. Whether I see immediate change or not, I will stick with the Word. And I got, now I'm at that point where gladly I can say I read the Word of God, whether it's boring, I'll go back, just read, because I know it is speaking to my spirit. And then one day I heard Joyce Meyer saying, when you're going through if you're going through a difficult time, read things that are relevant to you. Okay? Now, if we are killing rats and you have a problem with rats in the home, now don't now start looking for what's next, what. Don't look for things, complicated things. Do read the Word of God that is relevant to you in that time, because that is your need. Glory to God. If you need Him to help you get over condemnation or whatever it is that you're seeking God about, read things that are relevant. It's not now time to start reading about the Antichrist, when the Lord is coming back. I have a friend of mine who was going through a very, very difficult time. It was intensely difficult for her. And so as soon as telling her, man, I think that was a time where we were having a session, like back-to-back Sunday sermons about the return of the Lord. So me, I would leave church. Then I would go, I'm on fire. The Lord is coming back. Now you see 14 years. I started calculating the dreams that come. I was on fire. She told me, you mean the tribulation hasn't yet happened? Eh, because she was going through a very difficult time that the mere thought that a great tribulation is coming, she was like, Joanne, don't tell me those things. I realized that I was sharing things that were not relevant to her then. Okay? So it is the same thing with you. My friend told me, you mean? Joanne, you mean? Oyagala kunkakasa, that great tribulation has it? She's like, no. So, and we are saying, now the tribulation, man, well, we have to walk uprightly. What? And she's like, walk uprightly? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you know that I've been upright? And it was, the devil was really attacking her. And I know that season ended, yeah? But during that time, you could not tell her about the great tribulation. She couldn't even read those scriptures. Jesus Christ coming back. What? Are you serious? Like, she's Christian. She's born again. So when you're going through a dryness or a wilderness, read things that will build you for that season. Don't now start reading things. You can read them, but know what is going to help you. Do not, if you've diagnosed yourself and you know that you need vitamin C, yeah? Don't now start taking some drug. What's a malaria drug? Yeah, don't now start taking a malaria drug. All you need is vitamin C. Okay? So do have that wisdom that you know now. And it's okay, by the way. It's okay that we can come here and we talk about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to come back, as in you have to keep coming to church because you still need to hear the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you're going through your great tribulation, you need to hear those things. Just so you do not give up, yeah? Just so you know that your tribulation is not the ultimate, you know, it's not the biggest, yeah? So you need to hear that. But at the back of it all, go back and read scriptures that minister to you in that phase. Glory to God. That sounds easy to do. Hear those scriptures over and over and over again. Then the second last thing is encourage yourself with testimonies. Testimonies inspire faith. The reason why I love testimonies is that they really, really inspire my faith. And it does not have to be my testimony, by the way. God, yes, provided for me last week in a very peculiar way, you all heard. But when I hear of Damusinguzi's testimony, because I think it was given in that line as Damusinguzi's, I get encouraged. So I can actually share their testimony with somebody else. So, and in a time where things are tight for me, I will pull out that testimony and be like, eh, but God, you work for these guys. And that really, really inspires faith. Glory to God. So in your time of wilderness, spiritual dryness, look at testimonies. They will inspire the love of God in your life. Sometimes we feel like God doesn't love us, he has left us, he has done what. But when you hear these testimonies, you realize that, actually, so-and-so is not any different from me. Atemnae mukama akola bikulu, not for people who do only good things. Even someone who you think is, hey, that guy is tricky, comes here and testifies, or that lady, she'll come here and testify, and then you go back saying, ah, God, all about you can work for this person. You will work for me. Glory to God. Amen. Let's look at Mark 5:19. So this happens at the backdrop of Jesus casting out demons, a legion. We all know that story. A legion of demons from this guy that had been tormented by all these demons. So he cast them out in swine, and then the swine fell into a river, and this guy is actually delivered. Now, after his deliverance, the gentleman wants to stick with the Lord. And this is the instruction that Jesus Christ, our Lord, gives a gentleman. He tells him, however, he tells us that, however, Jesus did not permit him, but say to him, this is after the gentleman had asked, let me stay with you, you know. Now, the Bible tells us that, however, Jesus did not permit him, but say to him, Go home to your friends and tell them what things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. When we hear people's testimonies, it is more than the money that God has given. It is the compassion, it is the love, it is the faithfulness of God. So those testimonies amplify these characters of God. It is not just the money. It is not just the healing or the deliverance that this guy had gotten from Jesus. It is the compassion of God. So when you hear testimonies, don't just look for, oh, how much money was it? I bet when people were here, when Geraldine was here testifying, I think people were like, about how much was that? I also bet others were like, about when is Eden's birthday? To keep track, just how much money? She said 6 years back, 70%. It's more than that. When we listen to testimonies, people, when we listen to testimonies, let's go beyond such things, yeah? You've heard of testimonies of people getting delivered. Don't be there saying, yali arwadeshi, wala la la. Just go beyond what that person was struggling with, yeah? Don't go beyond HIV 30 years. Some people stop there, by the way, yeah? HIV 30 years, what? And you know, some testimonies are very dramatic also. For 30 years, I lived with HIV. I just don't tell my parents. As in, there's just so much drama in the testimony, yeah, that will take away from the main message of it. And I guess that is why Pastor, after she testified, Pastor drew us back to actually the reason for this is to emphasize that the rats were killed. So always look for what is the message. When God was doing this thing for this person, what was his heart? Glory to God. So testimonies inspire faith and they amplify some of these characters about God. Glory to God. Amen. So we shall listen to testimonies with a different anticipation. Don't start calculating. Hey, Eden, how old her? She said what? Don't look for those things. And then the last thing is, do not live by feelings, but live by faith. In your time of wilderness, or when you're feeling you're far from God, don't always go by feelings. Don't always pay attention to those senses. I'm so impressed by Jacob and what he did when he was fleeing from Esau. Genesis 28, verses 10 to 16. Now Jacob, after you all know that Jacob steals Esau's blessing, He started by taking the birthright. By the way, this family was so dysfunctional, but that will be a story for another day. So, Jacob had taken Esau's birthright. Then he connived with his mother, Rebekah, to steal the blessing, which the Lord God had predetermined to give Jacob. But these guys used human ingenuity. I mean, Rebecca and Jacob, to actually make it come to pass. It had issues, but anyway, that is what they did. So now Esau is hot with anger, seething with anger. He's livid. He's saying, you know what? I'm going to finish this guy. He is a thief. So Jacob, Rebecca tells Jacob, you know what? Your brother is going to kill you. You run away. So go to my brother Laban and stay there for some time until Esau's anger comes down. So now Jacob, on his way to Laban's place, the Bible tells us here that Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and south. And in you and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. There are many times, like Jacob, we're in a wilderness. Jacob was in a wilderness, a clear wilderness, orchestrated by him and his mother. But in God's foreknowledge, he allowed it to happen. And all this while, this is the first time in scripture that actually Jacob interfaces with God. The very first time in his time of wilderness, he interfaces with God. And like many of us, when we are going through these seasons, we are like Jacob. We do not know that God is with us, even in those places. You do not know that when all the music has faded, like we sang here earlier, when all the motivation, all the dramatic feelings and emotions about your marriage, about your work, whatever God has told you to do, when all those things fade, you start to feel like God is not with you anymore. But here, Jacob experiences God in a very, very powerful way. And to me, I was so impressed that we do not see this thing again happening, this kind of dream happening, or this kind of spiritual experience happening until the Lord Jesus Christ mentions it. So there is a period in history where this is not replicated until Jesus Christ mentions it. And even when he does, it is in repetition of what happened before. Glory to God. So this is why we shouldn't live by feelings. If it was Jacob, like Jacob was tired, imagine you've burnt all your bridges. Clearly here, he had burnt all his bridges with his brother, with his father. His mother, by the Bible says, never saw him. She actually died without seeing her son. These were twins. Any mother who is here, you'd actually feel pain. Yeah, these are things that would give me even an ulcer. Imagine not seeing your son. You, the mother, orchestrated your plan and said, you know, it's okay, you go. Then I don't get to see Kwezi until I die. You guys, yeah, it is bad. But do you know what? Even in that wilderness that she sent her son into, that her son was really part of, God was with Jacob. So this is why we should not always live by feelings. Say such a feeling, a psychology, because God will be in a place and you will not know. You will miss the day of your visitation. If you just be there, oh, you know, I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to come for fellowship. I'm not going to do what? I'm not going to listen. You will miss the day of your visitation. Glory to God. So let us be encouraged that in our seasons of wilderness, the Lord is with us. I think that is the point I'm trying to make. The Lord is with you. I have told us how we can get out of them. Let us get out of them. You're not supposed to stay there forever. Glory to God. Get out of them. You will get out a much better person. It's possible that you'll actually experience the Lord in your wilderness more than you'll even ever experience him. Glory to God. It's very, very possible. I think I was listening to Benny Hinn, who was talking about a similar experience, that when he was going through his wilderness, now as they are saying, now what kind of wilderness could Benny Hinn have been going through? I mean, this guy is high and mighty. And I'm like, I can only imagine. If this guy says, I went through a wilderness, I can, you know, the things that went through my mind, maybe Terry McCallum did not play the piano, Terry McCallum, his guy, maybe. So I was just wondering, but he explained, of course, it was a wilderness in his personal life that affected his ministry, affected his family, what. But he said he experienced the Lord like never before. Not, he experienced the Lord in those times like never before. And he says he doesn't think it's going to ever happen again. That was Benny Hinn. Glory to God. So there is, that doesn't mean that we should force ourselves into these places to experience God. Eh? Let's not now do counterproductive things. But when it comes, I'm sure it will come. And maybe you have been there. Try and do some of those things that I've shared with us this morning. And you'll have a much better experience. Amen? God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.